Should we just launch into it? Because I'm just full of rage.
Yes.
So, you know when you make a really bad joke and someone says to you, Clayton, you're better than that. You're better than that. And you think, I am. I am better than that. This is the film equivalent of that. This film, honestly. Oh, God. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to... Oh, Defending Yourself 21, Resident Evil. Welcome to Raccoon City. Oh, Clint, I know they're going to do this. Oh, that film, you know, sometimes you should listen to people when they tell you something's bad. Oh, this is... Do you really like this?
I do. I think it's flawed for sure, but I really do enjoy it.
Flawed? Jeez. Oh, it's like saying a boat with a hole in the bottom of it's flawed. Oh, what a mess. What a mess. So if you... it was just such a generic... we'll get into it. We'll get into it. Don't worry, everybody. We'll get into it. Jesus. I mean, 5 minutes... I was 4 minutes in, and I was thinking, God, this is just painfully generic. Like... I've got, like, one positive, which I'll save for later on, but it's mostly just negatives, to be honest. I mean, so a bit of background, because it'd be interesting to see where we're both at before watching the film. So I've seen all but the last one of the Resident Evils, the Mila Jovovich ones.
Oh, classics. God,
they're so good compared to this.
My name is Alice.
Where was I going? My head's all over the place after watching that. Wait. Okay. All right. Okay. So background with the games. I think I played Outbreak and a couple of them when I was younger on the PS2. Don't know an awful lot about it, but I have seen... Oh, what's it called? The Capcom, the kind of CGI ones they did. I think they're originally Japanese.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've seen those, and those are good. So, like, I know enough about the characters through that and the games to know what the characters are meant to be like. They're not in this. I don't know who these characters are, but they're not the characters we know. I mean, we meet Chris and... What is the cracklet? Before I go off on one, where are you with the whole Resident Evil? Where are you with it?
So I fucking love Resident Evil. I started with Resident Evil 4 back on PlayStation 2 back in the day, was my intro to Resident Evil. And I love the Mila Jovovich films. I love the games. I like the CG movies. This came out. And I went and saw it, and I was like, well, this has issues, but it's probably the closest we're ever going to get to an actual adaptation of the first two games. And I just like it. I don't think it's perfect, but I don't think it's as awful as everyone makes it out to be. Although I completely understand if you hated it. Sean and I went and saw this for my birthday in 2021. He came and watched it with me in theaters. I went and saw this in theaters twice.
Can I just say, what a good friend you are, Sean. If anyone doesn't know, Clayton's talking about Sean, his co-host from co-star works, actually, doesn't it?
I think you would like co-star.
Yeah, co-star from their podcast, Men Who Like Men Who Like Movies. So Clayton and Sean run that, or as I call them, Nina and Varushka. But you'll go back up them so you'll get why.
That's a callback.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, it's a bit generic. You see them in an orphanage. And what's the crack, right? I was going to say this to later, but I'm not going to bother. The film's all over, so my review is going to be all over. Standard. What on earth is going on with characters going like if it was me and you talking to each other, like, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, Clayton Jones III. Like, are you listening to this? And I'm like, why do they keep repeating their full names? There's just no need. It's okay, Claire Redfield. Okay, Leon S. Kennedy. Even though you're clearly not Leon. I don't know who you are. The mate.
Okay, so...
This is a myth.
I have to throw out a caveat here about Leon.
Oh.
Probably 60% of the reason I love this movie is Avon Joja as Leon. He doesn't look like Leon, but I am...
He doesn't act like Leon.
D- deeply in love with him, and I think he's just gorgeous. I like looking at him, and I think his performance is very funny. I love when he's on screen. Like, I don't love that Claire is a conspiracy nut, but I really like Kaya Scodelario. I've loved her ever since Skins. I think she's great.
Yeah, she's... I mean, you know, I think the acting in this is absolutely dreadful across the board. Absolutely awful. Honestly, at one point I was thinking, have they recorded the rehearsals or something? Because, I mean, dear God. I mean, what are they... I mean, but to be fair to them, I don't think they're given anything to work with because the script is just an absolute abomination. And I know, I should be honest and tell you what I think. Where do we even start? The best thing about the film?
I have to say, Sean.
Yeah.
Why I think it works, even though the script is admittedly kind of terrible, is because, like, the first two games that this movie is basically covering, their dialogue, like, it is ridiculous. It's so cheesy. I mean, the whole Jill Sandwich thing, that's straight out of the first game. I think it would have worked a lot better, you know, if they had taken a whole movie to adapt just the first game, which is all in the Spencer Mansion, and, you know, a movie for the second game. But I can understand they were like, oh, we want to get all these classic characters in here. The director's obviously a huge fan. I mean, the mansion is like one-to-one. I mean, I could walk around that mansion. It is so specific. And I mean, the police station, I mean, it is straight out of the game. It's so cool to see. And I think it's cast very well. I just think it's fun. But I can understand why you hated it. And I also think you are extremely brave for doing a defend it yourself side series that you just have to watch movies that a lot of people hate, probably for good reason.
I didn't realize because it just so happened I had the idea. I put a couple episodes out and they did really well. And I was like, oh, people like this idea. Not the most original idea, but they like the idea, right? But then very quickly I realized, oh dear God, I would have to watch lots of shit films. I mean, some are surprises, but some are like, oh, that's not too bad. You know, cut the M.H. Shyamalan's, but this. If you enjoy this, or anybody listening, if you enjoy this, fine. Absolutely fine. I have no doubt I like films. Batman and Robin, do other people think you need help? I understand, you know, if we all like the same things and dislike the same things, it'd be boring. It'd be a planet full of Cybermen. Clayton's been watching a lot of Doctor Who, so I might just sprinkle a few in there for Doctor to enjoy. Who.
So, as you know, I just woke up for this, but because, you know what my last night was? I went and saw Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, extended edition in theaters, came home, watched the last two Jodie Whittaker Doctor Who specials, and wrapped up Doctor Who. I watched the first Saw film, because Saw 10, as a recording, comes out in like a week, so I'm starting that marathon. And then you were like, hey, let's record this night. So I was like, sure. I was about to go to bed. I was dead tired. And I threw on Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City, just to refresh myself a little bit, even though I've had my notes for this ready for months since we've been talking about it. And yeah, so I watched all that back to back to back last night. And yeah, here we are.
Well, you know, I was wanting to do this anyway. And I found out a bit of good news, and I thought, oh, I'm in a really good mood. Like, and you'd messaged, and I was thinking, oh, he's finished Doctor Who, Resident Evil. And I thought, well, I'd just say tonight, or tonight for me, even, you know, afternoon for him, America, England, time difference, right? So I thought, oh, yeah, I'm in a really good mood. And then I've watched this, and I'm like, oh, dear God. But I mean, I'm talking about, I'm not like, I'm not bereft.
I'm sorry I ruined your day.
I'm more like gleefully just amazed by how absolutely shite it was. Like, that there's an amazement in how, like, I just, oh my God, like, but the problem is, this is why it annoys me so much. There's a, like you said, there's a gem of a good idea in there. The director's clearly a fan, but they just, well, we'll get to it anyway. Best bit of the film, a good song. I mean, setting at 1998. My favorite game by the Cardigans, great song. Just everything that they did well in the first Resident Evil, they just kill it here. The CGI is absolutely atrocious.
The CGI is so bad.
But I mean, it's not even like they were going for like a stylistic, because I get when you watch some of the shots of like the house. There's a bit where there's a lift, sorry, an elevator, and it looks almost like a game, and I think that was on purpose. But then there's other bits of it where it's like a helicopter crashes and looks wonderfully intact until this awful CGI explosion. The CGI dogs look awful.
The CGI that, dogs, I will agree. I think they're the biggest offender in the entire movie. I missed the weird dogs with the practical shit that they did in Mila, Resident Evil.
This is what I mean, because I did the Resident Evil film. I did it, looked at all the special features. They did so much for practical in that. I mean, almost to the point where, like, the small bits of CGI that they used in it were all agreeably also terrible, which kind of marred how much they did for real. In this one, oh, dear God. Like, it's just awful. And then, like, that overhead shot of Raccoon City, it's not a city. It's like a one-horse town. Like, what? Yeah. And I know cities can be small. I get it. But I couldn't understand what I was looking at. Could you? I don't know what that's meant to be. Doesn't look like a town. It doesn't look right. There's no roads. There's no hills. It's just a lot of houses and a.
I think it looks like a town, but like not a big town, not like Raccoon City is supposed to be. And I get that they had budgetary restraints and everything, but it's like, you know, just do the first Resident Evil game. That's all set in the Spencer Mansion. Rather than like, okay, we're going to try to combine these so we can have all the characters, not just Jill and Chris. But yeah. And then, you know, it's like, oh, this is the town, but it's deserted. So we're going to give you 5 zombies.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair to them, I mean, the original Resident Evil budget was, what, $33 million US dollars, I think. I've just Googled it. With inflation, I reckon that's about double now, right? Let's say 60 million, right? 55, 60 million with inflation. Yeah. Probably right. Let's just double it. Let's go for it, right? The budget of this film was $25 million. Now, that's not, it's not huge. In fact, compared to nowadays, it's virtually nothing. But it's not nothing. It's like they should have boxed clever with it, but we'll get there. My biggest issue with films like this is that there's a gem of a good idea in there, and the executions just are atrocious. We meet Jill Valentine and Leon Kennedy, and they're about the only characters I can remember from the game, to be honest with you. They bear no resemblance to the characters in the game. And I don't just mean physically. This is not a comment on them choosing actors of different ethnicities or different backgrounds to play the characters than what we originally saw. It's an adaptation. You can take some poetic license if you want to. But, oh, dear God, they've still got to at least act like they were in the film. I mean, Leon Kennedy is just an absolute idiot. He's an absolute idiot. He might be a nice bit of eye candy, but he is absolutely useless. He's the comedic relief, but he's not funny. And he just gets...
He's funny.
he falls asleep on the police desk and a lorry almost crashes into the building and he's just asleep. It's absolutely ridiculous. Honestly, I just wanted him to get eaten me. I was like, oh, please, somebody just kill him. Just kill him. Like, please, just somebody eat him. I don't want him here anymore. Let's just get rid of him. Honestly, just awful. And then what? Again, repeating people's names. Why is Leon so feckless? I don't have an answer. The script's just fucking dreadful. People having bleeding eyes and just taking note. Oh, it's all right. It happens every now and again, you know. We all have bleeding eyes, don't we, love? No, we don't.
Your eye never bleeds, Sean? Oops.
I'm not the sheep from Casino Royale. maybe there were Casino Royale. I don't know. Oh, speaking of which, the most heinous bit of CGI is the bird, the little bird that like flies into the window.
CGI is the dogs. I think that's the worst. The birds.
The birds worse. Make me the bird is, oh. If you can't do it, practically, don't do it at all. Just have, like, you literally could have had, like, it hitting the, you could have had just, like, all these birds hitting the windows and, like, blood. Like, that would have been good, like, for a bit of tension. You didn't need him to go out there and perform an autopsy on it. He doesn't perform an autopsy on it. He just looks at it, but you know what I mean? And you're just like, what are you doing? And then way to make the dogs as scary as a pillow. I mean... If you can't, I mean, that bit where it's like its eyes are a bit misty because of CGI'd its pupils, and you're like, oh, and it's sat in the car, and the guy's like, hey, what's the matter with you, Rover, or whatever it's called, and it bites his hand. He's like, oh my god, you bit my hand. That's literally what the acting's like in this film. And I don't know what that accent was. It's meant to be kind of Midwestern American, but it went a bit weird.
yeah, I don't know what that was. It was not Midwestern American.
Sorry, America. And it was meant to be a man. So I don't know what, I think it went a bit women. Sorry, I think it was meant to be a man. It sounded like a woman. I'm all over with this. I haven't been drinking, honestly. I'm all over the place. But as I said before, if you can't do it as well as the first Resident Evil, just don't do it at all.
So I will say the Milovich films, while I love them greatly, and I'm personally offended I was not on your Resident Evil episode because that was really fun.
Hey, Resident Evil 2 is still available. Ah, that's my favorite one. So 2 is still available.
I love Resident Evil Apocalypse.
So do I.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we can do that. As soon as the Jaffa Cakes get here, we can...
Did you see my Jaffa Cake tea?
Yeah, I did.
I haven't. I'm saving it. It's downstairs. I'm saving it. Don't worry.
Perfect.
By the way,
some background noise. Someone is.
It's all right.
Riding a four wheeler outside.
What's a four wheeler?
Fuck. I'm like, what do they call it in Tomb Raider? Maybe a quad bike or something? I don't know.
Oh, quad bike.
Was I right?
Is that what you call them? A four-wheeler? No way. Is that what you call them over there? Oh, yes. God, you Americans are so literal. It's like we call it a pavement, and you're like, well, it's a sidewalk. Why is it a sidewalk? Well, because it's a side that we walk on. And you're like, oh, my God, American police. Why? Is that what you call them, a four-wheeler? Well, I never knew that. I've heard that before.
Yeah,
but that's what you call a quad bike. I mean, arguably, quads four and bikes. So yeah. It's the same thing, but I was sounds a bit better. I did not know that. Hey, the things you learn.
You're explaining British terms to me, and now I'm like, hey, this is an American term. Yeah, that we call them four wheelers.
Yeah, do the more you know. Yeah. Where were we up to? Anyway, so speaking of Jaffa Cakes. Two Girls, One Recyclable Cup podcast. Brilliant name, by the way. And thank you for the interaction lately. Yeah, it is. And I need to link up with you guys at some point. It's a cake, not a biscuit. You can't dip it in tea. So, but anyway, we'll crack on with that. We won't get into that debate now.
Yeah, I will debate that once I have had one and can weigh in on the cake versus biscuit debate.
It's shaky ground. You got to be careful with that one. I don't know if there's an American equivalent. But
you guys use biscuit differently than we do over here anyway, so...
A biscuit means everything. Like, every type of biscuit. Like, cookies are just a type of biscuit. Whereas you call... because your biscuit... Like, our biscuits have individual names. So you got chocolate digestives, rich teas, fig rolls... How British
I love England so much.
Custard creams are amazing. Bourbons. I'm not a massive fan of them, but bourbons. Ginger nut biscuits. Best biscuits ever. Really nice. What else have we got? I'm a bit of a foodie, have you noticed? What else have we got? I'm having to think. Hobnobs. Chocolate hobnobs.
You know, you say you're a foodie, but I have seen your unseasoned breakfast that you eat. Not even salt and pepper on that egg. Just out of the chicken. Cook salt, it on the plate.
Yeah, pretty much. Just sizzle it. We are a bit bland, to be fair. But peri peri, my mouth's on fire. But so this is how entertaining the film is, just a sidetrack into food.
Come on, it's set in the 90s with those needle drops. I mean, those needle drops are amazing. Oh, a needle drop, like a music cue. The burning thing with the, what's it called? Crush. I'm really bad with music, but
Crush.
Yeah. I think the song choices are great and all the 90s stuff and just the, like, what's that about a Palm Pilot? It's just funny. It reminds me of my childhood and I love it. And the cheesy dialogue, I mean, it's straight out of the games. The dialogue from the games is so bad, but I think that's part of the charm.
I don't know. Maybe if it had lent more into the spoof, maybe if it lent more into the game and it was a bit brighter, because it feels like and I've used this recently, I know, I just think it's shit. But you could argue it's a film that is at war with itself. Does it want to go down that campy route, that 90s campy, really leaning at how bad the dialogue in the, you know, the games were. Or on the other hand, it's like, well, we're making it. But I do think it suffers from the budget. You can really see the limitations of it. Mm-hmm. And I think what they should have done is they should have pulled it back. Like, we don't need the helicopter crash. What's that there for? You could have had the kitchen gas bottle blew up. You didn't need to have that. You know, because it, you know, there's times where you think you didn't need to show this. You didn't need to have the truck explode. I mean, that, oh, the bit where the truck flips over. Oh my good God. It's like PlayStation 1 seat. It's awful. Apps, it's like, this is past, this went into cinemas. Do you go to cinemas?
Yeah, we called it just theaters. Jesus, but yes, it did. Christ. It was, I saw it in,
well, you call theaters cinemas. We call them cinemas. Theaters are where you watch a live performance, but
yeah. Right. This, yeah, my, it's all we should have,
yeah. We should have called it translating yourself this episode, really, shouldn't we? I was a little intrigued for about 3 seconds about whether it was a kind of radiation leak, people looking ill, hairs falling out, the eyes are weeping blood. And another thing as well. I mean, you can the relationships in the, I mean, just no chemistry with any of them. They're just reading lines from a script. It's absolutely, I'm going to run out of, you know, words, but it's just hideous. It's just absolutely, there's just no emotion in the scene where Chris and Claire, you reunite. And you're wondering about whether the water's been poisoned and that kind of crazy guy. And then, yeah, I mean, sorry to the guy who plays Chris, but I mean, come on, like, put a bit of effort into what you're saying. I've never really seen
anything out of Robbie Amell that truly impressed me acting wise, but I also find Chris as a character in the games. Sorry to all the Chris Redfield fans. I find him a bland piece of toast. I'm a Jill and Leon forever. I think they're the best Resident Evil fans, and I will die on that hill. So I think he played Chris fine. But I mean, the dialogue in the games, I mean, Jill almost gets crushed to death in a room, and she gets rescued, and they're like, yes, you were almost a Jill sandwich. I mean, that is the dialogue from the games.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but to be fair, I mean, you can have cheesy dialogue and it still be a decent film. Like the Resident, I'm not saying Resident Evil 2002 is like a masterpiece.
No, it is not a 5-star film, but I mean, it is not me in my heart.
But it's yeah, me too. But it is passable, and you don't watch it, and it doesn't physically hurt to watch. And it's, you know, you just think, what were you? Oh, anyway. But the only bit I enjoyed, the air siren went off, the town's electrics get cut off for about 3 minutes. And again, it's so, the execution's so ham-fisted and so clumsy. The bit where he's leaving and he goes, hey, don't touch my bike. And it's like, it's like, oh my God, that audience, hello, we're the writers. Do you see that?
That's video game plot.
It's not a video game, though, is it?
It's a film.
You need to try and get to a meet. And I know, like, people criticize the Resident Evil 2002 for diverting too far away from the video game. This one is that close to them, but then at the same time, it's not, because it takes all the characters' names. But then the characters don't act like them. They don't look like them. They don't have any relationships with each other. And they just expect the names to carry you. Do you know who this is? No, I don't. Why is he acting
I would argue with that.
Six cops in a whole city. Like, six cops. STARS was meant to be this, like, unit off on its own. Like, is it like a special tactical armed response team or something?
Something
like that.
I would say that, with the exception of Leon, which I think they just took the, oh, he was a rookie when it started out, we're going to really lean into that.
Lean into it. Knock it down.
Yeah. But I would say the rest of them really do inhabit their game personalities and translate it to kind of, air quote, real world as well as possible. I really like the cast of this. I don't necessarily understand the whole Leon thing, but I still enjoyed it. And, yeah, But really just a lot of the 90s aesthetic and just the cheesiness of the games. And this movie is basically, it should have been called Easter Eggs, the movie, because the amount of just little fan details in it, while it necessarily isn't executed the best, there's so many times I'm watching it and I'm just like, oh, they did the thing. There's that. I didn't notice it. Oh my God, the shotgun shells are literally the same, like, design. The artwork on the walls in the mansion's the same. Like, I just think it's the closest we are ever going to get to see the games really translated to the big screen. And but so,
isn't that a shame, though, that we get it?
I mean, it's a little disappointing, but it still is like, I've been waiting my entire life to see, you know, what the Spencer Mansion would look like. I mean, obviously, we kind of saw it in the Milojevic Resident Evil, but it, like, wasn't the Spencer Mansion from the games. So, I mean, it's just fun. I understand your concerns with it. And this movie was very divisive when it came out. People love it. People hate it. People are like, I wish it was better. It's kind of a missed opportunity. But this was the seventh time I've watched this movie since it came out at the end of 2021.
Clayton, you're better than this. You're better than this. I'm joking.
I watch a lot of Oscar bait. I have to even it out. You know,
well, yeah, I know what you mean.
And again, I just watched 3 seasons of Jodie Whittaker's Doctor Who. This seemed amazing.
If I'd have watched this after watching that absolute unmitigated crap, then this would have been absolutely really. This would have been a nice palate cleanser. But Clayton, look, and people listening, like I know, I've just bought, and I unironically bought only like £3. I have just bought the 2-disc special edition of Batman and Robin, so I know, as a treat, as a treat for myself, so I know, and I've already got it once, the single edition disc, I know that, like, I know, all right? Like, I'm not perfect. But, like, this film is just unforgettable. I treat you like you're stupid. Leon just, and I know he's an idiot, and he is absolutely feckless, but he's like, don't touch my bike. And then there's just a bike in a shed in his garage that's just wide open in this town that every character that lives there is like, hey, man, do you know this town's a shithole? Yeah, it's a shithole. Yeah, do you know it's a shithole town? Yeah, it's dying on its ass. And it's like, really, you just leave your garage open? Like, really? I chose Clayton to come on because I knew that I didn't think I'd react this. I didn't think I had no idea
how you'd react. I thought you might hate it, and I didn't know if I couldn't remember from your Resident Evil episode if you were like had any relationship to the games. And I'm like, he has no relationship with the games. Like this, I have no idea how this movie would play to someone who wouldn't like necessarily notice all the little nods and fan service they put in. Clearly, didn't play well. And I mean, even 2 fans of the game, some of them really hated this movie.
I mean, yeah, because it's not the characters. I mean, certainly a couple of them are just Leon S. Kennedy is not Leon S. Kennedy. I'm sorry. He just doesn't act like him at all. Like, at all. I'm like, how did you get this gig? How did you get it? Like, you're easy on the eye. Whatever you said in your interview, can you tell me what that is? Because I need that piece. I need that kind of magic in my life.
I think the script is where it's not necessarily Leon rather than his performance. I think he really captures Leon's himbo energy very well. And
what does himbo mean?
Like a hot male bimbo. Like Leon has Leon's always
that thing.
Yes, himbo is a thing. Look it up.
I don't want to look it up.
Always very pretty and throws out, I mean, especially Resident Evil 4 and on, I mean, just throwing out quips and puns and just is wonderful. And I just think he really captured that energy. Like, he's just pretty and dumb and will become, I mean, in Resident Evil 2, when Leon was introduced in the games, he did not act like this necessarily, but it was his first day on the job. And by Resident Evil 4, which takes place several years later, he's like a fucking badass. And so, I mean, this would be his introduction.
The guy we see in this is never going to be like that. Either try and do it a bit at the end. Oh, my God, Leon. Yeah, I'm surprised the rest of you are like, oh, God, he's still alive. And again, with the missed opportunities, you know, the whole itchy, tasty thing, which I remember zip symptoms or something about it. It was definitely in the game, I remember.
Yeah.
And again, it could have been really good, but it's just tossed in there. That's it. You don't hear it again, see it again. The zombies, the design's awful. It's the worst zombie design I've ever seen. They're not memorable.
Don't care for the zombie design. It's although I will say when crap. In the mansion, when they see the zombie that's eating the guy in the ground and he does that like slow turn to the camera. I mean, that's a shot straight out of the game. I think the zombie looks good there. And there are some sequences in the mansion that I think are very well done. But anytime you see a good look at the zombies, not great. I love that they threw in that piano puzzle. I mean,
it's the film, you know, I think you mentioned this the other day about a film. Commits the cardinal sin. It's boring. It's an hour and 45 minutes long. And it is boring. It takes, and I wrote
it
down.
Yeah, it's the longest Resident Evil film.
54. And sorry, yeah, go.
It's the longest one, and they cram so much into it, and I'm still just like, they could have cut the orphanage stuff. We didn't need that. And if they were going to have this be this long, take a little time to actually show us some more stuff from the game. Like, stretch out the mansion sequence a little bit more. We didn't need 15 minutes of orphanage backstory of Claire and Chris. Didn't need it.
54 minutes before a single zombie gets killed. Unacceptable.
I was like, 45 minutes in, just arrived at the Spencer Mansion. Like, that is how the first game starts, is they arrive at the Spencer Mansion.
Unacceptable. Absolutely. Take the time, make these two films, or don't do it. Just absolutely just unacceptable. I mean, even, like, as I said about the zombie designs, even they're bad. Like, even in a film that, like, I mean, that's an absolute shocker, but I do want to go back and watch. We should do this one. You know, like, House of the Dead 2, Dead Aim, right? It's not good at all. But the zombies at least look decent. I mean, the story's non-existent. It's just set in a house. I know you're shocked it's set in a house. It's set in a house, nowhere. But it, honestly, it's like, it's you know, enjoyable rubbish, basically. But bless you. But then there's... Dad sneezing next door. But then, you know, I mean, you get with... I mean, yeah, it was just... I was so disappointed. I was so... I mean... Oh, where else do I go with this?
What do you think of the liquor?
What?
The liquor sequence, though.
Oh. What, the little midget liquor? It's a mini version. It's about yay big.
No, looks, that's about the size big... they are in the games.
Oh, it looks a bit about as big as a poodle. Honestly, God.
I will say, the inclusion of Lisa Trevor, this was my biggest gripe with the movie.
Really?
Honestly.
Oh, my God, really? That was my favorite bit.
Was in it. I love Lisa Trevor as a character, one of my greatest things, but I hated that they made Lisa Trevor not sympathetic, because she is kind of sympathetic in the games. It's really sad what happens to her, but the fact that she is helping them, I'm like, no, Lisa Trevor's like a fucking boss you have to defeat. She would not be helping you guys. But I like the fact that she was included. I liked her design. I thought she was cool, but I did not understand why she would have been helpful when she was like a huge ass boss in the Resident Evil remake of the first game that they did.
Yeah, so I'm looking down because I've got my notes on my phone. I haven't put them on my computer. I'm not ignoring you. I'm just going up my notes.
Oh, no. Mine are on my phone too. I was like, I didn't even see you were looking down because I was looking at my phone.
Yeah. I thought doing this whole podcast looking to your eyes might be a bit odd. So I thought I'd mix it up a bit, especially after watching this. I mean, dear me.
Did you think it was too dark?
Yes. Although okay. To be fair, I got that was like, it was definitely a thematic choice. It wasn't like, I think they did it, especially with the liquor part, because it was to cover up the fact that the budget's not there. So they thought, right, well, we'll do it. Because I actually, at first, that scene, and I will, you know, I'm not completely heartless. You know, the bit where the lights start hanging down start to sway as it gets closer. I thought, oh, that's good. I can't remember if it's in the game. I thought, that's a good visual, that. You could have made more of that. Because, you know, that kind of tension. But yeah. I don't think they did away with it too quick. The any opportunity to have any kind of tension, they just throw away.
I think that scene and then some of the stuff in the mansion where the lights are out, I think are the best parts that are really tense and kind of scary. Because I think he did try to go more, you know, the Mila Jovovich films, with maybe the exception of the first one, are a lot more, they're action movies. They're not horror movies. And this one, I think they tried to make a horror movie. I don't think it's necessarily scary, but they tried. But like the sequence at the beginning when Claire and Trucker hit the zombie and then they're like looking off into the woods. Were you able to see anything there? Because a lot of people were talking about how dark the movie was. And again, I saw this in cinemas.
Couldn't see a thing.
Twice. And you could kind of see it. And then on home, I had this on 4K. And you can see. I mean, it's very faint. But I'm like, if people don't have like a really good TV setup, this movie would be a murky mess. I mean, it's one of my favorite. I love the look of it. I mean, the pops of color with like, some of the neon and everything. I love the look of it. I think it's really fun. I enjoy watching this. I mean, that's one of the reasons I'll sometimes throw it on. I'm like, oh, I just like the way this looks. And yeah, also, I just really like the soundtrack. It's like
well, my childhood. I was gonna say that the soundtrack's good. I think the music they do for the film, the actual original soundtrack music, not particularly memorable. I read in the trivia, there wasn't a lot of it, that the director and the writers, well, he wrote it, didn't he, as well. They wanted it to be kind of like John Carpenter, and you can kind of feel that a little bit, but they just don't have the talent. I'm sorry. Very few people have the talent of John Carpenter and Deborah Hill and his creative team. You've got to accept that going in, that maybe you're just not up to that standard, and I wouldn't be up to the standard. But then, I mean, again, with the film of the issue of, like, why do they treat Leon like he's something they've just stepped in. You know, you can't. Well, I know it's the 90s, so they could kind of probably get away with it a bit more then. But, and I said,
cops, they're assholes.
Yeah. Well, he wouldn't even be. He's too stupid to become a cop. I'm upset. Anyway, well, let's not get into that. The Anna. I saw a twinkle in your eye. The video game settings are made pretty faithfully, but outside of that, this isn't Resident Evil. The character, they've took a generic zombie film, a really generic zombie film. And they've gone, oh, we've got this script over here. I mean, this is just my personal ridiculous opinion. It's probably untrue. Well, it's untrue. I've got nothing to back this up. It's just a hypothesis. Hypothetical. Oh, we've got this shitty zombie film over here that was rejected by God knows how many people. And somebody wants to reboot Resident Evil, this fella. So, well, I tell you what, we'll get that script, bring it over here. Bring it over here. We'll mash these together. Oh, does that character fit, you know, Chris? No. Does that character match Leon? Not really. Or just the audience won't. The plebs won't know. It's just that'll do. Put in a blender, that'll do. Throw $25 million in there because we've got nothing better to spend that on. And, throw it in there, that'll do. I mean, and I'm, you know, as I said before, I'm pretty sure falling asleep on duty at the desk, you know, at the front desk of police stations is a sackable offence. You know, whether you've got your earphones on or not. I mean, the truck crash was embarrassing. And the weird music choices, you know, the whole bit, like, I don't know what it is. It's like something about, I yearn for your touch or something. As this burning man. And I've no doubt they did that for real, but then CGI'd over the top of it because it looks awful. The tone, like you were saying, there's bits that are cheesy. For me, the tone was that, I mean, the script, but the tone's that all over the place. You can't get a handle on what they're trying to do. And I think that probably that backfires on them as much as anything else, because we're setting in the 90s and we'll have things remember, like, oh, there's Snake the game. Remember that? This, that, and the other. And then you know, it's like, oh, remember Resident Evil. And then, but then, you know, I've used this analogy before, but it's like, getting a really nice wrap present with a M&S wrapping paper. Marks and Spencer's really high end shopping for you. Britain, Marks and Spencer's wrapping paper, beautiful bow, you know, it looks absolutely lovely. You open it up, pile of shit. That is this film. The wrapping looks nice. Nah, I'm sorry. But if you enjoy it, that's absolutely...
I do enjoy it. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with everything you said.
I think I'm being a bit harsh for comedic sake. And I am. Honestly, I am. But I'll be honest. Look,
it is a
look,
show.
I'll be honest. I am being honest. But to be fair, that's the thing about this film. It's very forgetful. Forgetful? No, it's not forgetful. I'm forgetful. It's forgettable. it's forgettable. It's not offensive in, I don't mean in the modern way we say offensive. I mean the old-fashioned term of offense, which may, in terms of, it's not going to upset. You're not going to watch it and be like, well, unless you're me. You're not going to watch it and be like, this film ruined my life. You know, unless you're me. So it's not going to, you know, it's not offensive in that way. But it's try to think of a less northern way of putting it. It's neither something on now. It's a bit of a dry lunch. You used a phrase earlier that's quite similar. What was it? Dry something? Oh, like something that like you think is going to be good but isn't very good.
I don't remember what I said.
Anyway, the people listening will know what I mean. I mean, you know, $25 million. Where did it go? Where did it go? I mean, it feels
music.
Like
a... I think it went to the song licensing is usually
probably. I mean, it's like it plays like a TV series. It plays like something you'd watch on a streaming net program, you know. And but you forgive those the bad CGI because they don't have the budget. They don't have. They just don't have the time. They don't have the resources is the word I'm trying to think of. They don't have the resources for that. It's like you've just watched all the Doctor Who's. Some of the CGI in the 2005, 2006, that's the Doctor Who's really show their age now. But you let it go.
So unfortunate. Yeah.
But, you know, the little silver spiders, you know, in the second, you know, you let it go because you understand that the technology wasn't there at that time if you had a TV budget and it just wasn't there.
Yeah. And also, that's kind of part of the charm of Doctor Who.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I'll forgive a lot of things in Doctor Who that I wouldn't forgive in other things.
I'm just so glad you got to meet Captain Jack Harkness at last. And Torchwood's still waiting. So
I know. I've got Torchwood and maybe even the Sarah Jane Chronicles if I really want to.
Oh, yeah, the Sarah Jane Adventures, they're good then. They are good.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't think of what it was called. It's the Sarah Jane something.
Well, no, in America, they'll probably change the name for it. No offense.
it's honestly fair.
I will say this. I was rooting for some characters, the zombies, to bin off all these bland characters. Sorry, I don't mean characters. I mean bland cardboard cutouts.
You didn't even like Jill? I love Jill. I thought Jill was really great in this movie.
Was that... Scott, the one out of Skins.
No, Jill was Hannah John Kamen.
Was she the one who just kept popping up and shooting things?
Yes.
Was she the one who kept? Was she the one who kept running around going? What was his name? What was his name? The one who betrayed them.
Wesker. He betrayed us. He ran down the hallway. Jill, calm down.
He betrayed us. Oh, shut up! Like that bit where they stood in her and the other fella stood in the room. It's like, yes, let's stand in this room. That's rapidly filling with fire and smoke and ash. And there's a helicopter crash next door into this house that we're standing in that could collapse any moment. Let's stand here and have a really heartfelt conversation about how Wesker betrayed us. It's like, oh my God, get out. What are you doing?
It's video game logic, Sean.
But it's... Maybe I just wasn't in the right mood towards this. I'm in a good mood. I am in a good mood, honestly. It was just...
because you're talking to me.
Exactly. But no, oh God, don't. I can imagine. I'm glad it's with you because if it was with somebody, if I did this review with, say, a podcast I never podcasted with before, they might be a bit like, man, this Sean guy's really aggressive. calm down, man. Your blood pressure. I mean, I know that I've seen a lot of zombie films and I know they're really difficult to do brilliantly. To get them to be like a brilliant film, they are hard in that respect. But even the poo ones are at least entertaining or blood sucked. I mean, this is just, you've talked. Best line in the film, because it was exactly what I wanted to say to him, was listen to me, you fucking boy band wannabe. I was like, yes. I was like, yes. Someone said it to him. Oh, he was just dreadful. Yeah, I wish he'd have been eaten instead of the other fella. And then he surrenders. So Leon gets dragged to the cage by the scientist guy who's like the online in the chat rooms. What the hell's a chat room guy? And yeah, I know. And then he's like, he's a bit like Woody Harrelson in 2012. They put it in the water, man. So he basically he's in the cell. He's been arrested. He's like, and then Leon's like, doesn't go and check why he's been arrested. He's just like, why were you arrested? Just go check his file. It's, I know it's the 90s, but come on. And then he gets too close to the cage and the guy grabs him and then takes his gun. Even though I'm sure even in the 90s, they've got like, I don't know a lot about guns, but the holders have a retainer that means you can't do that. But whatever, doesn't matter.
Well, Leon probably forgot he was supposed to have that clip.
He's a fool. But he's got a bulletproof vest on because his sister told him to put one on, not because he's a police officer or anything. Jesus. And the guy's like pointing it at his chest, at the bulletproof vest, going like, let me out of here. Just dab behind the desk or run up the stairs. You're going to get shot in the backside or the legs. He's not, he's not going to hit you. I mean, you've got a bulletproof vest on. What are you doing? Just run away. He's not going to hit. Oh, anyway. Just an absolute tool. The liquor CGI. I said, to be fair, the design of the Lisa character is about the only character I was remotely interested in, but again, didn't use her enough. Which is a bit of a shame, but even having her in it and she like rescues them by like killing that liquor, which I did quite like. CGI was a bit rough, but I liked the scene. And then Leon ruins it, and he's like, "Oh man, you got weird friends." I'm like, "You're an idiot. Shut up." you're talking about it was too dark, so. The lighter scene.
I mean, I don't think it's too dark, but I think a lot of people think it's too dark.
Well, that lighter scene where he's fighting in the dark, and he goes from having his machine gun to having his gun to having his knife to seeing his friend who's now reanimated, and then he's like flicking his lighter on his friend's there, and he flicks it on, and he's closer, and it was a bit Weeping Angels. See, another one for you. I quite like that.
I think that's the best scene in the movie. I think that's the scene that works the most successfully. I mean, the whole when everything's dark and just lit by the gunfire and you just see the swarm coming.
It's interesting, not particularly original, but I'll let it off. At that point I was just grasping for anything I could get. this film, it's like one of the longest hour and 45 minute films I've ever seen. I'd heard this is really bad because I watch a few YouTube reviewers and I don't know many podcasts that have done this that I listen to yet. Apologies if any of you have done it and haven't listened to it yet. To be fair though, I tend not to if I'm going to review it. Got myself on that one.
So. I tend to either not. I don't listen to stuff if I haven't seen it before.
Yeah, well, yeah, because you know what you listen to, do you?
Yeah, or if I'm going to cover something in the near future, I won't listen to it.
But it's
The Horror Queers podcast did a Patreon episode on this back in 2021, but that's the only one that I've noticed do an episode on it.
I think people have avoided it like the plague, haven't they? They really have.
The initial reception was not the greatest.
I'm probably the only person that saw it twice. I mean, Claire's the conspiracy the theorist, right? I mean, she's not a conspiracy theorist. She's right. So really, she's completely right. But she finds this file that's just sat there, like a video game. I know, Clayton. It's just sat there on the side. And I'm joking. And she opens the file and it's got Lisa. What's in it? Lisa, what is it?
Lisa Trevor.
That's the one. Cheers. She's got it. And then she flicks the page. It's got all the lists of kids' names. It's got deceased, 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 deceased. And she rips it apart. And I'm like, that's it. That's it, Claire. Destroy the vital evidence for them. Yep, that'll do it. Like, what are you doing?
It was an emotional response that was the wrong one, but that scene also gave us like another little Easter egg. The Ashford twins from because I just woke up, my brain's not even gonna remember it. Resident Evil Code Veronica which they were the villains from that. I'm like, that's so cool to include, you know, a little thing to that, even though we'll probably never see a remake to that game or an adaptation on screen for it. But I was like, that's fun that they put that in there.
Yeah, I thought the shootout bit towards the end was decent, at least. At that point, I was just happy for some shooting, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
he takes the main villain, Neil McGonagall. He was in Band of Brothers, brilliant series. He played Buck Compton.
He is the most unsettling person.
he was great. He's really amicable in the Band of Brothers. Same as the villain.
Really? I don't know. I feel like I've seen him play so many bad guys. I don't know if I could.
Oh, no, he's really endearing in that one. Yeah, he's really like.
Really?
He plays like, well, a real person, but yeah, it's good. Yeah, he takes the G-Virus, and this is where you see the comparisons to the video game, because this is the big boss moment. You almost see Big Boss appear on the screen, don't you?
Yeah.
You don't, but you in your mind's eye, you see it. I was probably hallucinating by this point. And, you know, he's alive for about 2 minutes before teleporting. Claire teleports in again. She's like Michael Myers. She just appears whenever it's convenient. She saves...
Ah, Kaya!
Yeah, she saves the... The chief who runs away and then runs back from the dog with a fire extinguisher, which wasn't too bad. CGI is terrible. And then she, Leon, like, put the gun down. It's not a gun. It's a fire extinguisher. Anyway. And then she just appears at random points. She appears. She kills the, you think she kills the big boss. She doesn't.
They always come back.
Even
like
more
times.
Horrendous CGI. Although I did like the design of the little eyes. That was quite cool. And I know that's quite a thing of the game, isn't it? The big thing out the back, and
yeah, and they'd have he had all the eyes, and you'd have to like shoot the eyes out. And I wish it was practical, but you know, for what it was, I liked it. I love that we had Birkin and Sherry, and again, just they threw so many characters into this. You know, if they had cut out like 50% of the characters, they could have fleshed them out a little bit more, and I think it would have been more successful. Yeah. But I liked getting to see all of them.
Well,
because that was one of my big complaints about the Mila Jovovich movies is that the game characters were hardly in it.
Well, that's
I always loved when they showed up, but they weren't, you know.
Well, that's the big issue, that, especially with Apocalypse. The people were saying, like, where's Chris? Where's... Because they had Claire in that.
We get
they?
Jill, though.
Jill, sorry, Jill. We had Jill in it, but then we didn't have anybody else. But I get that that's... But they, you know, I think they knew very early on that Alice was the star. They probably had an idea to get the characters in, but then once they saw everyone liked Alice, they were like, yeah, we're not really going to bring them in. Anyway, so the film, we're almost at the end, people. We're almost there. You see the finish line. You're at that bit in the race where you don't even feel your feet because you're just sprinting for that finish line. It's almost like you're
how I felt the entire last season of Doctor Who.
Like it was all a bad dream. Hopefully they do a Dallas and they open the curtain and Capaldi's just in the shower having it. Anyway, that's a really old reference, that. It's a reference from Dallas. Where did I get that from? But Bobby Ewing in the shower. Anyway, not in a funny way. Go find out. Go read about it. A bazooka. Idiot turns up with a bazooka and fires it, even though they're in a room that's about 2 foot squared. I'm pretty sure. I mean,
yeah, they should have all been dead, or at the very least,
or badly injured with shrapnel. or deaf. Yeah, absolutely. And then Raccoon City, they're going to destroy Raccoon City, and they don't nuke it for whatever reason. They go all Bane at Gotham Football Stadium, American football, proper football, and they drop it into the ground. Like, we get this even better. It's terrible. CGI of, like, and a cow. I don't know whether that was a Twister reference from the film Twister with the cow, or I don't know.
But I just love seeing a cow fly out.
We all do. We all
of Twister
do.
As a child, I just...
Did you know, I'll give you a bit of trivia about that. So Jan DuBont, who did Twister, also did Speed 2 Cruise Control. And did you know, when the big oil tanker blows up,
so I have never seen either of the Speed films, just throwing that out there.
You've never seen either of them?
No, I need to. I'm greatly ashamed of it that I have not seen Speed or Speed 2.
It's fine. It's okay. It's okay. It's fine. We've all got, I mean, you know, so for me, my verdict of it, if I haven't given enough opinion already, You might be unsure as to which way I go on this.
Yeah, like, how did you feel about this?
So to summarize, what's the score out of 10? My verdict is you can kind of see what they're going for with a mix of kind of John Carpenter across with Resident Evil. But, you know, the problem is the acting's shocking. The CGI is awful. The script's awful. Well, actually, I'll change. The acting's awful. The script's awful. So I think by a product, the acting's awful. The CGI is awful. There's baffling creative decisions about the characters. And what you end up, and we end up with a really boring, disposable load of pap. That's it. I've got nothing. But that's my opinion done. Clayton, what did you think of it?
So, like I said, I think it is very flawed on several levels, but I really loved seeing a lot of the things from the first couple games brought to life and seeing all those characters. And I actually do think it was kind of exceptionally cast, personally. I think it's fun. There are some parts that I think could have been cut out. But overall, I mean, clearly, like, I've watched this 7 times in, like, 2 years. I clearly don't have a horrible time with it. It's not something I will, like, throw on and pay undivided attention to it. I might be on my phone a little bit and watch, like, my favorite parts. But I enjoy it. I feel like I can be really, really critical on some movies and everything. And then stuff like this, I'm just kind of like, it just doesn't bother me. Like, I just have fun with it. And Resident Evil, I just have a lot of affection for. I mean, I've got a Resident Evil tattoo. Like, see? I love Resident Evil. And so while I wish it had been, you know, if they were going to adapt the games, like, do a really faithful adaptation of, like, the first
game. Well, to be fair, they kind of have. The best ones are probably the animated ones. I've got the first one.
Oh, yeah. I think the CG
animated.
What's
the first one they did?
Resident Evil. It's the one in the airport.
Degeneration?
Yeah, it was Degeneration and then...
Damnation?
Yeah, and then Damnation, then Vendetta, and then
Infinite Darkness.
Infinite Darkness, I actually did think was really boring, but they just came out with a new one, Death Island or something. I have not watched it yet.
Cool.
I might watch it today, actually.
Well,
after I edit my episode. Practical Magic, check that out.
maybe they could have.
I have a good time with it. I like to throw it on sometimes, just if I can't figure out what to watch, I'll just throw on Welcome to Raccoon City, and I'll be entertained. And you know, I think Jill is great. I really like Jill and Leon are the standouts in this one for me. It's not necessarily the greatest. I'm not, like, wholeheartedly defending this, dying on this hill that Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City is the best film ever made. I'm not saying that.
That hill would fall into the ground like the rest of Raccoon City.
Yeah, I do have a film podcast, and I will say my takes are generally valid, but this is just one of those that, like, I like it. I understand that it's not the greatest, but I do like it. I don't think it deserves all the hate it's gotten. But again, I understand that it did not work for you, and I will not begrudge you that, because it does have its flaws.
I think we've had a good time talking about it. I didn't hate it. I just, to be fair, it was one of those films that you think, oh, this is going to be good fun to rip apart, and boy, have I had fun. I always do. Our episodes are always good fun. And that's bore out in the audience, who clearly enjoy them because they get good numbers and get great numbers, to be fair. So, yeah, thank you.
Our Bond series is going to be off the chain.
Oh, it's going to be great, isn't it? Thank you for coming on. Thank you to the audience. I'm not finishing up. I'll let you join. Thank you to the audience for turning up week after week to listen to the episodes. I do appreciate it. As you know, Clayton, I think people don't realize how much effort it is to do a podcast. Recording it's fun, but you got to edit it, do your notes, and figure out, you know.
Sometimes things watch a really terrible film.
Yeah, sometimes you put yourself through hell. But hey ho, you know, it's all good fun. So I'd like to, you know, thank you to everyone for listening. Clayton, would you like to jump in and explain, you know, about your wonderful co-host and your brilliant podcast? And I need to catch up on your latest episode, to be fair. But yeah, just jump in and let them know where what you're all about.
Well, I'm so glad you gave me this opportunity to plug my podcast, because it's wonderful. Men Who Like Movies, my co-host.
He's so humble, everybody. that's what I love most about Clayton. He's just so humble. It's like, come on, man, have a bit of confidence
about yourself.
I'm like, come on, have a bit of confidence about yourself. You know, you're better than this. You're better than this film. Go on, Clayton.
My co-host Sean, not this Sean, American Sean, and I pick a different film. One of us picks a movie one week, one of us picks a movie the next week. Sometimes we'll do listener request, and we talk about it with really fun guests that are in the movie podcast community, or they just like movies, or they're critics or actors. You know, we just have a wide variety of people, and it's really fun. And you should check that out. Men Who Like Movies, you can pretty much find it anywhere you get your podcast. You can find us on all the socials. Not TikTok, but the rest of them. Search Men Who Like Movies. We are probably there. And if you want to find me, I am on a lot of the socials and Letterboxd at Just Happy to See You, number 2, letter C, letter U. Love to hear from you.
Sorry, I was literally, this is not a joke. I was literally just going on my Netflix and downvoting the film. Not a joke. This is genuinely not, like, this is not BS for the podcast. Genuinely, that's what I was doing. Because I was thinking, oh, because there's a new series and I'm watching it. And I was watching it before the film and I stopped it to watch the film. I thought, why did I stop? So I'm watching the rest of this series. And then I thought, oh my God, it's on my, and I've just looked at my watch list. And I thought, I'll have to downvote. I do not want Netflix going, you liked Resident Evil, Rick.
To share what I rate Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City, I will be shameless about this. While I don't think it's perfect, I like it enough that I gave on Letterboxd every single time I watched this movie a 4 out of 5 stars. It's a good thing.
Like, people, this is what I love about films. Like, and just why I do the film podcast, I get to talk to people. We've all got such differing opinions. Even people who don't do podcasts, even people listening to you, we've all got the films that we love that people are like, why do you like that? It's awful. Everyone knows it's awful. And you're like, no, I know, but it connects with me. And that's what I love. I love that about films. Like, I connect with Batman and Robin for various reasons. I watched it when I was younger. I got it at a specific time. Can't even say it. And it means a lot to me for that reason. And I really enjoy watching it. But I don't know. We finished the podcast. I don't know. Yeah, thanks to everyone for listening. I think we're done. I think if you're still here, thank you. And goodbye.
Get it in, get it on, and enjoy the vlog.
Welcome to Film Vloggers.
Oh, harder, Daddy.
The only film review podcast, thankfully, that poses the question, does watching this film feel like flogging a dead horse?
There he is, beating that dead horse!
Introducing your hosts. First up, her Irish potty mouth turns the air a whole new shade of blue. It's Fiona. Say hello, Fiona.
And why the f*** is Dan Macca's doing our intro?
I want to be gold!
That's great. It's great. She's adorable. And your second host needs no introduction. The man, the myth, the legend. Like, I said I'd do this. I said I'd do this for you. I'm not reading this. It's the guy who waffles too much. It's Ben.
Cooey!
I'm making waffles.
So what are you waiting for? Grab your whip, mount your dead horse, and let's get on with the vlog, shall we?